We turn this morning to Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth, that means counts, the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth the wind to blow, and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgment, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. So far we read God's holy, inspired word. Now, let's focus on verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. People of God, this psalm was written to celebrate the completion of the walls of Jerusalem during the time of Nehemiah. Let's have a very brief review of that history. Judah, because of her sins, was chastened by God. He brought them into captivity into Babylon. And there, for 70 years, the people of God resided in shame and sorrow. But then, the Lord returned. Those who, the remnant of the nation who were faithful to Him, 50,000 under Zerubbabel. Their plans were to return to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the city. Eventually they did, but there were setbacks. The Samaritans gave them untold grief, which hindered the work. Soon, the people became discouraged. The temple was half built. The walls of the city were still in shambles. The people were victimized by roving bands, robbers, thieves. But then the Lord sent unto them Haggai the prophet. And through his word, they were encouraged to rebuild and to finish building the temple. The walls, however, of the city were still in shambles, and so the Lord sent Nehemiah under his leadership. The walls now were secure. And in this psalm, that great feat is celebrated. The psalm praises and thanks God for his kindness that he had just shown to his people through Nehemiah. And the psalm continues to praise God for his care, not just of them, but also for the creation generally, so that the full glory of God may become evident. And now we turn to the immediate context. Verse 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth to gather the outcasts of Israel. That's a reference to that which the Lord had now accomplished. Judah had been dispersed under the Babylonian captivity. The Lord had gathered them together, brought them to Jerusalem, and led them to rebuild the city. And now the verse that we consider adds to that. By doing so, the Lord had healed their broken hearts. He had bound up their wounds. This is a general statement. He heals the broken in heart. He binds up their wounds. That's what the Lord always does for his people. But he had certainly done that under this occasion, gathering them as outcasts, bringing them to Jerusalem, leading them to rebuild the city. He had healed their broken hearts. He had bound up their wounds. We consider this morning as we approach the Lord's Supper. We said that this passage speaks of a general truth. The Lord continually and always heals the broken hearts of his people. He always binds up their wounds. And he does that through the preaching of the word, but also he does that through the sacraments. And now this morning, through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And so we consider this under the theme, healing the broken in heart. And we look first of all at its historical realization as celebrated in this psalm, and then its present realization for us today. The psalmist speaks of the wounded and the broken in heart. The term wound is a word that emphasizes hurt, injury, pain. It describes an injury that has been afflicted that causes a great deal of pain. Wounded. To be broken in heart, in turn, means to be overcome with grief, so that one can barely continue on with his life. And of course, these two things go together. When someone is wounded severely, so that there is great pain and hurt, then very easily he becomes broken in heart, overcome with grief and sorrow. And that describes the people of Judah in captivity in Babylon. Let's understand the nature, however, of their wounds and their broken heart. They were not physical. This was not the captivity that Israel had endured in Egypt for some 400 years. There they had become slaves. There the whips of the taskmasters had opened up their backs. They had been pressed to the very limit. Pharaoh even sought to destroy them more than once. Yes, there had been physical wounds and broken hearts because of that. But that was not the nature of the Babylonian captivity. They were treated well. They were dispersed, and they prospered from an earthly, material, physical point of view. The true people of Judah, the true people of God in Judah, which were only a small percentage. Remember, only 50,000 returned with Zerubbabel to rebuild the city. They were wounded. They were broken in heart, spiritually. We have to understand the nature of the Old Testament. The land of Canaan was the promised land. It was a picture of heaven. There they would enjoy God's blessing. There was Jerusalem. There was the temple and the sacrifices. And it was around there that God lived and dwelt with His people, and they enjoyed His blessings. Now, that was in ruins. The temple was no more. The city was nothing but a pile of rubble. They were removed from the Holy Land, the land of promise. And although the true seed of Israel still enjoyed God's blessing, it was greatly, greatly diminished. What a terrible time that was for the true people of God. What a terrible wound they had suffered. How broken up they were of heart. Psalm 137 speaks of that. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our willow, our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? That's the language of a people wounded, broken-hearted. But the Lord had bound up their wounds, and the Lord had healed their broken heart. You know, if you want to heal a wound, you have to bind it up. And that's what the Lord had done for Israel. He had gathered them now after 70 years from being dispersed out of the land of Canaan. He had led them back to the location, to the Holy Land of promise, and to Jerusalem. And He had led them, even though they had done it imperfectly, and even though they had to be rebuked by the prophets and led by Nehemiah. Nevertheless, He led them to rebuild the house of God and to secure the walls of the city. And now at long last they enjoyed the blessings of God as none of them ever could remember. The city was secure. They were safe from their enemies. There was the house of God, the sacrifices that looked ahead to the great sacrifice God would provide, and they enjoyed the blessings of God and of His covenant in Jerusalem. That was how God bound up their wounds. Oh, how He healed their broken hearts. Instead of being overcome with grief and sorrow and pain, they enjoyed the blessings of God with glad hearts. And so, they give thanks to God in this psalm. for this great kindness he had shown them. That's what this meant for the people then. What does it mean now for us? And what will it mean in the future? As the people of God, we too have many wounds, and our hearts are often broken. That's true, first of all, simply because of our sin. What wounds, hurt, and pain sin brings to the human race and to us? The wages of sin is death. The judgment of God is upon the sin of man. When man is caught up with sin, then that denies him of the joy of the friendship and fellowship of God. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against him and all of his unrighteousness. And he experiences that wrath with many troubles in his life. His life at best is empty. But in that emptiness, there is trouble and sorrow in his marriage, in his family, in all of his life, making many, many horrible wounds and many broken hearts. That's true even of us. As the elect of God, by nature, all we can do is sin. By nature, we're no different than the world who is under the complete domination of sin. Even in Jesus Christ, we have only a small beginning of obedience, and sin defiles even our best works. And with our own sin comes many wounds and many broken hearts. Besides that, there are the many trials of life that we face that are common to all men. Sickness, loss of loved ones, loneliness, poverty, making many wounds, breaking many hearts. God is gracious, and He is kind, and He continues to heal the brokenhearted and to heal and bind up the wounds of His people. He does that by gathering us together who are the outcasts and bring us to Jerusalem. To a new Jerusalem, to which the old Jerusalem on Mount Zion was only a picture. The Bible speaks a great deal about the new Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 21, John says this in a vision, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God." This is only one of several passages in the New Testament that speaks of this new heavenly Jerusalem. What are we to make of that? According to the vision of John, This is to be found ultimately in a new heavens and a new earth. Must we envision there a city, a literal city, as there was in the Old Testament on Mount Zion? And the answer is no. But the reality of what was Jerusalem will be found in the new heavens and the new earth. What was the old Jerusalem? There was a community of God's people who enjoyed the blessings of Jehovah God around the altar. And at the altar, which pointed them ahead to a greater sacrifice to come, they found peace with God. They found all of God's blessings. And they found joy with one another in those blessings. And they found safety in the walls of Jerusalem, really safety by the hand of God. All that will be found in the ultimate sense in a new creation. A community of God's people, the elect of all ages, gathered together from all the four winds of the earth, outcasts. There they will enjoy the fruit of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself, as the Lamb of God, will be present, the visible representation and mediator of God. Wicked will be destroyed forever. No danger. No toil. No sin. No death. No sorrow. No disease. No loss of loved ones. Eternal joy. Oh, all the wounds of God's people will be bound up, and all their broken hearts will be forever healed. That's what this looks to ultimately. But what about us today? The reality of that is also with us today. Jesus has come. He has given the perfect sacrifice for sin. Through the power of His Word, God gathers His people unto Himself in Jesus Christ. Brings them into the church. Where He feeds them, blesses them, and where they find a blessed community of God's people. Sharing in the blessings of the cross. Finding forgiveness. Finding the power of a new life. Finding comfort and peace. Oh yes. In the church, with His ministry, in its fellowship, God binds up our wounds and He heals our broken hearts. He does that through the power of His Word that proclaims Christ. And brings us to Christ to enjoy the salvation of the cross. And in connection with the Word, He does that through the sacraments, which take the gospel of Jesus Christ and place them before us in visible form so that we can taste and feel and see. And that's what we have this morning in the Lord's Supper. Christ is planted here. The broken bread, the poured out wine, brings us to the cross, the same cross that we preach. We are told, come in faith, eat and drink with a believing heart. You will partake of Christ. You will partake of all the blessings of the cross. Blessings that will bind up your wounds. Heal your broken hearts. how good God is, what kindness He shows to us. Let us come then this morning to the Lord's table to receive His goodness, to heal, to bind up our wounds, and to heal our broken hearts. Amen. Dear God and Father, bless this word to us, we pray. Lead us to Jesus Christ through the preaching and now through the sacraments of the Lord's Supper. And O God, bind up our wounds, heal our broken hearts. Amen.